item number 14.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, presenting a verbal report on the recent immediate jeopardy at the Behavioral Health Division. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay. And so the committee is aware our plans are to stay in open session. We don't believe there's any need for, there will not be a need for us to go into closed session, but we did notice it as such just in case, and Corporation Counsel Grady is here to give us the head nod if we get into murky water.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, Jim Kubicek, Interim Administrator of the Behavioral Health Division.
Hi, Madam Chair, County Supervisors. My name is Jennifer Bergerson. I'm acting as Deputy Administrator at the Behavioral Health Division and also the Chief Compliance Officer.
Well, when I get started, what's getting handed around is a document that provides an overview of the citations that our Hilltop program very recently received, and when I say very recently, that was as of yesterday. We received the written documents from the state. Essentially, what occurred is will require a little bit of background information, education related to what the policy is that was violated. The policy that was violated is a caregiver misconduct policy. We had our policy for the Behavioral Health Division, as is mandated by state and federal regulations, is that when there is a suspicion, and I underline the word suspicion, or an allegation of caregiver misconduct, that allegation is to report it up the chain of command immediately and without delay. This is a policy that has been in effect for some time. Ms. Bergerson and myself have overseen many, many caregiver misconduct investigations. The vast majority of those investigations are unsubstantiated. That is the determination that we as administrators need to make based on a review of that investigation. We either substantiate or we unsubstantiate the allegation of caregiver misconduct. So as an accredited facility, Hilltop has to ensure that those investigations are completed and any related interventions are done immediately or in a timely manner to prevent reoccurrence. The primary issue related to the immediate jeopardy is there were two incidents of caregiver misconduct that, based on our investigation, we substantiated. We found that there was indeed caregiver misconduct that had occurred. The issue with those substantiated caregiver misconduct is the reporting time was not followed. There was a delay in terms of the length of time it took for the reported caregiver misconduct to be reported to administration. And because there were two separate events, when the surveyors came, they found that delay placed the facility in immediate jeopardy. What I want to emphasize here is that these caregiver misconduct investigations or substantiated investigations were self-reported by us. We identified them to the state. We informed them that these situations had occurred. And then as a result of those reports, they did come in and conducted what's called a complaint investigation, which are done on a relatively routine basis. Regulatory entities come in and conduct these complaint investigations, and they, as a result of the complaint investigations, they initiated this immediate jeopardy. We knew going in that there was a delay. We knew going in that there was a delay in terms of the notification to administration. And we had dealt with that delay with those employees appropriately. So upon learning of the allegations, the administration followed the policy. We removed those caregivers that were accused of of the misconduct from duty, and upon substantiating those investigations and substantiating those allegations, they are now removed from duty permanently from the Behavioral Health Division. In terms of the specifics, how that occurred, I can't really talk about that in open session right now. The misconduct specifically involved using unacceptable language towards the residents and engaging in behavior that was demeaning. The immediate jeopardy was placed on October 9th. Then on October 14th, this is a little confusing. On October 14th, the immediate jeopardy was removed, but they made that removal retroactive to the 10th, which is when we submitted our removal plan. That's the date that our removal plan was accepted. The date of the incident was, as you see in the first paragraph, on the 18th of September. So we officially were under an immediate jeopardy from September 18th until it was removed on October 10th. This is something that we take exceedingly seriously. I can't underemphasize the level in which we hold the behavior that these staff to have engaged in unacceptable, and we dealt with it. We dealt with it immediately, but the fact is that the incidents occurred, and there was a delay in when those were reported. We believe that we have dealt with the specific individuals that were involved sufficiently, and now what will happen subsequent to that is we will engage in ongoing corrective actions to prevent the reoccurrence of this type of a delay. But I stand before you that if we receive these allegations again or of similar type, the same result will occur. It's not something that we're able to or willing to tolerate in any way, shape, or form. So what I'm going to do now is I'll turn over to Ms. Bergerson the corrective actions that we have undertaken as a result of the citations.
Madam Chair, County Supervisors, what I'm going to do is I'm going to list a few things regarding our immediate jeopardy and some of those corrections that we have instituted. We did develop a plan or an abatement plan which was accepted and approved by the state, and when they came in for verification, they acknowledged our compliance towards those commitments. Some of those ideas or actions include the removal of those caregivers and appropriate personnel actions, the fact that we reported these two incidents to the state. In addition, what we did is we instituted additional training sessions for all of the Hilltop employees, and my understanding as of this morning we're at 94% complete of that training. Those that are not in attendance or at work or out on leave, obviously you have not had that training. The training is actually from the Division of Quality Assurance through the state of Wisconsin. It's called the Wisconsin Caregiver Program, a blueprint for excellence. This focuses not only on the responsibility and requirement for employees to report abuse or mistreatment of residents. It also provides vignettes that help to identify and provide illustration to employees of what constitutes mistreatment. We have also additionally met with the RNs, who are responsible to not only the delegation and supervision of caregivers as it relates to patient safety, but their role in ensuring protection, identification, and reporting of that as well. We initialized a standardized investigation summary tool for all incidents regarding mistreatment investigations. This includes the facility responding timely to incidents of mistreatment, and it also includes timely notification to guardians, as well as removal of the accused per policy, and ensuring that our policy that we have in place is operationalized and practiced. We also met individually with supervisors and managers and regarding the appropriateness of responding to a situation and identifying those issues that may constitute mistreatment. And we included an enhanced supervisory oversight involving additional rounds and supervision to the Hilltop program in order to observe and ensure that people are practicing accordingly. This includes managers and administrators flexing their work schedules in order to provide coverage and oversight of the resident care environments. We also sent information out to our Hilltop team to ensure that they are aware of our requirements and expectations of ensuring that our residents are safeguarded, and that our expectation is that we will not tolerate any mistreatment of our residents as well as any form of retaliation for those who do report. We are currently, as Mr. Kubitschek had indicated, responding to the statement of deficiencies that we received from the state, which will include a plan of correction on behalf of Milwaukee County that will be submitted. The state will then review that plan, identify whether that's acceptable, and then they will come in and do a verification visit to ensure that we are in compliance with the condition of participation. These citations involve with the facility, client protections, resident abuse, and the fair treatment and the appropriate treatment of residents in our facility.
As an addition, procedurally, what happens after an immediate jeopardy is the immediate jeopardy citations have been removed. The state then reissues a number of lower-level citations that directly relate to the immediate jeopardy with a number of different specific what's called tags. So that's what we're in the process of now is we just received that document yesterday, and we're in the process of responding to that document with a plan of correction.
Thank you. Obviously, this is very disappointing. All three of the employees involved have been terminated, and were they all Milwaukee County employees?
Well, that we can go into the specifics of. The closed matters, it was two employees
okay.
that were
Thank
identified
you.
That are no longer employed.
All right. Thank you very much. Supervisor Stemper.
Thank you, Manager. In regards to the delay, were one of those employees that was let go responsible for the delay?
No.
Okay.
They were the accused.
Okay.
The let go were the ones that were accused of the behavior.
Okay. So in the process, where does the responsibility on the delay come in? So what's for, and who... Something happened. Somebody witnessed this happen. So
correct.
The witness must have informed someone who then caused the delay. So what's the hierarchy? What's the
right.
Sequence in the
yes,
reporting?
Yes, in this matter, in our ADMETA report to a supervisor, there are various accounts in regarding exactly what was relayed to the supervisor. And then subsequently, 2 days later, what was put down on paper and identified as the matters at hand. So there was communication regarding whether the information that was observed, how that was reported to the supervisor.
Okay, so what's supposed to happen?
What is supposed to happen is if you observe any form of mistreatment, that's an immediate contact with the supervisor that initiates our policy, which means removing the accused from the resident area to safeguard that resident, all other areas. And an investigation then is initiated, which involves a step process of obtaining witness statements, assessing the resident, the impact and the effect of the resident, contacting guardian and family, and completing that investigation, which is vetted through an administrator in order to identify that those pieces are indeed complete. And that if there is a finding for misconduct, that the appropriate reporting requirements are met and reported within the timeline established by each of the licensed facility, there are some variations of some of that timeline.
Okay.
And the reason why, if I may, Supervisor, the reason that that the facility regarding the immediate jeopardy, the the facility has a responsibility to enact those policies, and when there is a delay, that policy delay then impacts the safety of residents. So the facility didn't meet that obligation.
Okay, and in that process, which part, when does it take place that the reporting is directed to the state?
If what we do is we do, yeah, it depends. What we do is we do an investigation, and we have to determine there's an actual decision tree, if you will, that identifies what constitutes caregiver misconduct and whether it's a reportable offense.
Okay, so whatever the rules are,
yes.
That's what you determine you should report to the state.
There,
so self-reporting should be done anyway.
There are different rules for different levels, for different licenses. For our nursing home, you report all allegations. For the acute service and for Hilltop, you only report substantiated allegations.
Okay.
And it's very specific. It's all codified in the statutes. What the time frame is, what you, the amount of time that you have to conduct an investigation, which is 7 days. So within 7 days after the report, you have to submit your findings to the state, depending on where, on which facility it's in.
Okay, and then immediate jeopardy. What's the consequence of that? What does that mean? Is that on a scale? Is that the worst? That's the worst?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what does that mean?
Immediate jeopardy is a designation that the health and safety of residents are in jeopardy. And that if a facility doesn't come into compliance by completing the appropriate corrective actions to come into compliance with the standards, then you would be on a pathway for funding, decertification, funding concerns as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions from committee? Okay, so we can get an update then next month as to where we are with everything. All right. That is the last item. Supervisor Bowen?
Madam Chair, are you going into the session?
No.
That was it, right?
Yep. That is it.
That was it, right?
Yep. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.